The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:05 PM with Ross Brierley, Craig Forsyth and Darren Owen in the studio. A good day of racing to look forward to with day one of the Hennessy meeting at Newbury. We've also got Taunton and Uttoxeter over the obstacles on Thursday afternoon and all other action at Kempton in the evening. Plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary?
Yeah, not too bad, Mark. Not too bad.
Good. Quite a weekend coming up, Gary.
Very much so, yes. Obviously, we've got the Fighting Fifth, which for me is probably one of the worst grade ones I've ever seen, or likely to be.
Do you think that has the new race at Haydock has had a big effect on that?
It's only really the new one who's potentially running that race that would have run in this. Yeah. I think it's a bit early to say. I think we'll learn a little bit more about that come next year, what horses are running, but the fact is not many trainers seem to be targeting it. Nicky Henderson always used to have a runner, but he hasn't. I mean, he has got a runner, but it's a horse who's been winning in handicap company, and probably does deserve a step up in grade too, this sort of grade, the way he won that race. But the likes of your binoculars, your My Tent or yours is aren't going to be running in it this time around. So I don't know. I mean, it's never attracted the strongest of runners because quite a lot of the champion hurdle protagonists now are based in Ireland.
Hmm.
So sort of the last sort of 6 or 7 years, there's always been one sort of star from the south that's gone up and run in it. But apart from that, it has been a fairly weak grade one. And, well, we'll see what happens with the running of it this particular race. But, again, it's a little bit like the Haydock racing. You've put a lot of money. If you've not really got the runners, maybe the runners just aren't there, really, I suppose.
Hmm.
But the Haydock race had the new one. The Newcastle race hasn't got anything of that sort of star billing, I don't think.
Yeah. Irving heads the betting flat, by the way, 7-4, 2-1 for Sign of a Victory. Purple Bay is 4-1, 5s for Aurore d'Estraval, 11-2 for Arctic Fire, and then 16s or bigger for the others. I mean, if, say, Sign of a Victory were to win this, I mean, they've talked about him potentially turning into a champion hurdle contender. He would need to improve about £30 to do so. Irving's another one that's got potential. Purple Bay won a big race the other week, didn't he? Aurore d'Estraval. The Quins had a decent record in this with Cockney Sparrow, didn't they?
So, I mean, yeah, she was second last year, was she?
Yeah, second behind My Tent or Yours, wasn't she? So, you know, there are potential nice horses to come out of the race. Do you not think you've been slightly hard? Just because it's a grade one and these aren't grade one performers yet?
Well, they're not proven grade one horses, are they? So, no, I stick by original assessment. They'd have the potential to get to the grade one level, particularly Sign of Victory, I think. But I still think it's a pretty weak grade one, if I'm honest.
Okay, so you don't seem too inspired by the Fighting Fifth.
I won't be going out of my way to watch that on Saturday afternoon, let's put it that way.
Right, hopefully you'll be a bit more pleasant towards the Hennessy Gold Cup, because this is a good race. And
yeah,
Jack Adam heads the betting at 4-1, 7-1 for Many Clouds and Smad Place, 8s for Fingal Bay, 9-1 for Rocky Creek, 10s for The Druid's Nephew, Merry King is 14s, 16-1 for Hadrian's Approach, and then 20s or bigger prices for the others. Jack Adam heading the betting now, 4-1, and apparently Willie Mullins isn't too concerned about his age, which is being talked about as a potential obstacle to him.
No, I don't know. I mean, obviously, no 5-year-old has won the race, but I don't know of many I don't know the sort of class of the 5-year-old that has taken its chance in the race, and how many have indeed taken their chance. It has been a race for the second season novices, but obviously you won't have had too many horses going into the race as 5-year-olds as a second season novice. So it doesn't concern me a huge deal. I don't think anything really concerns me about this horse. I mean, he fell at Cheltenham, but Newbury is certainly for me a lot easier to jump around than Cheltenham. It's one of the fairest tracks in the country. And he's been slugging his, you know, where they were slugging through the mud last year at Leopardstown. I mean, he's not completely proven at the trip. He's up in Tripper. I mean, the furthest he's ever run over is 2.5 miles. But yeah, the way that he ground that out makes me think it isn't going to be an issue in the typical... I mean, he's a typical French bed, isn't he? They need to strike with this horse while they can, because the French horses often progress a little bit earlier in their careers than quite a lot of their UK and Irish counterparts, don't they?
Yeah.
But he's got 10-11 on his back. I mean, people are tipping at Smad Place. He is a grinder, but he's got almost joint top weight of 11-10.
I did like Smad Place until I saw the weights,
and then it's the weight.
Yeah. He's got
unbelievable amount of weight to carry.
Yeah.
The same for Ballinagore, who was obviously very impressive at Cheltenham. Does seem best fresh, but he's got 11-10 to lump round. Last year's winner wasn't the same after Triolo de Lane. He's got 11-12. Rocky Creek, he's got us, but again, 11-11. It's no easy task. And you look towards the bottom of the weight, some of the younger, but even some of the older horses make more appeal towards the foot of the weights for me. I mean, Hadrian's Approach has 11-8 to carry. Fingal Bay has still got the potential to be very good over fences. I mean, that performance to win the Potemps off top weight was unbelievable. But, he never really convinced me over fences. But with the Hobbs Yard in good form, he has to be respected. As does Many Clouds, who won at Carlisle. He's still improving. There's two that I like. I'm not sure what... Obviously, I've backed Jack at him at 6-1, so I'm quite happy. I'm not sure if this horse is... Well, Mary King is one, but the other one down at the bottom is Union East, who's 26-year-old. He's 11-6 to carry, but I still think he has the potential to improve quite a lot as well. So he makes appeal, but the one that makes appeal more, because he was placed in the race last year on ground that clearly didn't suit him, is Mary King, who's a regular in these staying handicaps. I think he was third, perhaps, in the race last year. But I think he's sort of around about the 16-20-1 mark on season, or his fifth last year, beg your pardon, on unseasonably quick ground. Before that, he'd finished second at Ascot behind Houblon des Abeaux. That's got top weight, Houblon des Abeaux. He wasn't beating that far in that race. You look at his run, he was third in the, I think it was the Grand National Trial as well. Oh, sorry, he was pulled up in that, but he ran in a staying race at Haydock during the winter. He was fourth in the Scottish National, again on ground that would have been plenty lively enough for him, and he blew away the cobwebs when finishing third in the same race that Houblon des Abeaux won last year. He's had the same prep. He's got a nice weight of 10.7 to carry. He won't mind if the ground gets any softer. I mean, it's soft heavy in places, so it's not going to dry out too much. He's got form here in the past as well. He was second here at this meeting a couple of years ago over fences. So he makes appeal, and I think he's potentially still overpriced at the price that he is, simply because we know conditions aren't going to be a problem for him. And I would imagine AP's going to ride him.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. He's going to ride at Newbury this year, isn't he? Normally goes up to Newcastle for the Fighting Fifth. But
so obviously it's probably the only main sort of race that he's yet to win, the Hennessy. So
it is, yeah.
The prices, I can see his price getting shorter than it currently is. I mean, I backed him earlier on at the weekend when he was 25-1. So I'm quite happy with what I've got at the moment. Jack Adam at 6 is Mary King at 25. I wouldn't be backing Jack Adam at 4-1.
No.
But I wouldn't mind betting that Mary King is price-wise on the day.
Okay. Just playing devil's advocate some more. Jack Adam, obviously talking about the concerns about his age. Would more of a concern be the fact that he's only had 3 runs over fences and fell on one of them?
Yeah, potentially. If we just look at his form, I don't think if you just go click on his form, the hurdy-burly nature of these type of events, I mean, there's going to be 24 runners, or maybe a little bit less than that, depending if they all declare. But if you just look, I mean, the biggest field he's ever ran in is nine,
yeah,
which would be a slight concern. But that would perhaps be the only real concern. I thought that was a bit of an unlucky fall at Cheltenham when he was in the it's not the Deuce and it's the JLT now, and I think he would have gone very close to winning that race. But that form hasn't really worked out as such yet. I mean, Uchi Zandra's won, but the winner hasn't really gone on at all. But I thought he would have won that race that day. So he has the potential for me still to work his way up into being a Gold Cup horse.
Okay. Fair enough. That's the Hennessy Gold Cup then, coming up this Saturday, the big race over the weekend, but let's focus on matters a little closer to hand. We've got the day, first day of the Hennessy meeting, and some pretty good jumping to look forward to elsewhere, and we'll move on to that now.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, and looking ahead to Thursday's action, Gary's going to attempt to give us a winner at each of the meetings, starting in the 12:45 at Uttoxeter, which is a Class 4 novices hurdle over 3 miles. We have six of them in the lineup for this, and I suppose Zero Shades of Grey is going to be relatively popular in the betting.
Yeah, he's a nice horse, this horse. I saw him when he won at the track just 12 days ago. Conditions aren't going to be an issue for him whatsoever. He was very impressive that day. I didn't think he was completely fit either. So he will have benefited for that run. Trevor Whelan will be taking £3 off to negate a bit of the penalty that he has to carry. Makes plenty of appeal. Relentless Dream is the other one that carries a penalty. He won at Chepstow on his penultimate outing before Upton Grade. He ran back there in the Grade 2, I think it was the Persian War Novice Hurdle, when he was a little bit outclassed. He wasn't beaten in a huge way, but he was beaten in a fair way, in fairness, but that was in a much better race than this. That said, I think Zero Shades of Grey's got the scope to be running in graded races, I think, later on in the year. He was very good in his bumpers last year. He was a bit disappointing in the Cheltenham bumper, but I think we can forgive him that. But he just looks an out-and-out galloper, this horse. And I was really taken with him. I know the form of that race probably isn't that great, but the way that he went through the race, he travelled through the race like a very good horse. And like I say, I didn't think he was 100% fit. The horse down at the bottom, St John's Point, was third here over this course, here at Uttoxeter, rather, I should say, not that long ago. Before that, he fell at the first, or was brought down, really, in a race at Worcester. He'd won a point-to-point before that, so he has to be respected. But the Longston Yard, not as red hot as they were during sort of, I don't know, say this time last month. They're still running okay, but they're not winning as many. I mean, if you look, they're hitting the frame a lot of the time. So, I mean, he did have a couple of winners at earlier on last week, but they're not winning as many as they were. Let's put it that way. He was
absolutely red hot at one stage.
Yeah, he's still in form. He's not out of form.
Yeah.
Interesting, they put the tongue tie on this horse for the first time.
Yeah.
But it's soft, heavy in places. It was raining when I left home. Obviously, I live about a mile from the track. And it will be pretty testing there tomorrow. So look for the horses with the big feet. But Zero Shades of Grey will be the selection anyway in that 12:45 to the fighter penalty.
Okay.
Interesting, Richard Johnson riding Relentless Dreamer, by the way, for Rebecca Curtis. He's got two rides for her on the card. And he could have gone to Newbury and rode a couple. And even Taunton would be closer to home, where Philip Hobbs has a good record. But he goes to Uttoxeter to ride these two for Rebecca Curtis. I think the one in the next race makes more appeal than Mare's Chase. But
okay,
that's just interesting anyway.
Okay, but Zero Shades of Grey.
Zero Shades of Grey.
For you there then. Moving on to the 2:45 at Newbury next. This is a limited handicap chase, a Class 3 event of the extended 2 3/4 miles. It's for 4-year-olds and older, 8 of them to take their place here, Gary. And some of them look fairly nice types. So which one's on your shortlist?
There's a couple. Caesar Milan, who makes his chasing debut, a dual winner at Taunton in the Mud last year. Ned Stark, who won at Huntingdon despite making one or two errors along the way. But I remember Ken was there that day. He said he really liked him in the paddock, so he will benefit for that. Knock and Roll is an out-and-out galloper. Hasn't been seen since finishing third at Perth back in May. He makes some appeal, though, because he'll be staying on. I mean, he won at Toaster a couple of times last year in the Mud. And Gentleman John is a horse physically that I really, really like. We've yet to see the best of him. He was second at Uttoxeter in a beginner's chase when last seen. Before that, he'd ran at Cheltenham in a chase there as well, being in a fair way. But that was a bit better behind Sergeant Reckless on his most recent outing. If you go back to his form last year, last season, I should say, at Wincanton when he was running on soft ground, the way that he shaped there suggested he was all about stamina, this horse. That was even over 2 miles. So he takes a step up in trip, which I think will probably help him on his chasing handicap debut. But I think Ned Stark's the one to beat. It's interesting, as I say, that Nichols is willing to put Caesar Malone into a handicap on his chasing debut. But I was really taken by Ned Stark at Huntingdon, and before that he'd won at Chepstow over hurdles. And again, he's another horse that physically looks as though chasing was sort of tailor-made for him. As I say, I know Ken really liked him in the paddock at Huntingdon before that run, so hopefully he can make a winning chasing handicap debut, or handicap debut of offences in that 2:45. But it's an interesting little race, that. It'll be interesting to see how Ken thinks Gentleman John looks in particular.
Mm. Yeah, interesting indeed, and plenty to take out that race probably after it, so we'll see what happens. But you're with Ned Stark there, and the 2:55 at Taunton is where we'll finish. And this is a novice's handicap hurdle over the extended 3 miles. Only six of them take their place here, and I suppose a lot of people will concentrate on Barton Heather trying to defy the penalty.
Indeed, for the in-form Neil Mulholland team, who are continuing good form. This horse won at Fakenham just 9 days ago, carries the penalty for that success. It was a very, very impressive winner, won by 13, but was eased down. It was an ease down 13 at the line value for quite a bit more. They've had to probably run this horse, because I can imagine like to go up a fair bit more in the weights than the mandatory £7 penalty. Also a winnable race too. The Winking Prawn caught the eye in two runs. The most recent one was at Worcester back in October, when finishing third. Former point-to-point winner. Has to be respected. I mean, the trips are not going to be an issue at all. Flora Spinner won at Fontwell recently. That was a pretty weak race, though. And Nosy Box, the Irish Raider. I'm not completely sure what to make of that horse. But Barton Heather's the young, progressive horse in the lineup. I think that one can follow up its recent Fakenham success in the 2:55.
Yeah, no surprise to see them turning him out under the penalty, because he will go for that easy romp, wasn't it, last time? Okay, let's have a quick summary then, Gary, before you go, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
12:45 race at Uttoxeter, Zero Shades of Grey, 2:45 at Newbury, Ned Stark, and the 2:55 at Taunton, Barton Heather.
Splendid, thank you very much, Gary. Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
Cheers, we'll do.
So there you go, the thoughts of Gary Capewell on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:05 PM. Ross Briley, Craig Forsyth and Darren Owen will be the team in the studio. We have day one of the Hennessy meeting at Newbury. We've also got Taunton and Uttoxeter over jumps, and Kempton on the poly track in the evening. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.